You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is John Franco, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN New York. Let's go Mets.
That's right. Let's go Mets, but some concerns for Mets fans as we start the day today on the show on this Friday, April 1st. Oh, it's April Fool's Day. Did not even quite realize
that's right.
That.
Let's not mess with that. We've got a bad history.
No, that's a great point. It's Peter and Don. Michael, hopefully this is our last day without him as he recovers from COVID. I am in Dallas, Texas, where I, Don, just for the first time, checked out the Dealey Plaza 6th floor museum.
Oh, you haven't done that?
It was my first time, yeah.
It is so surreal to be in that whole area after growing up and seeing all the footage and documentaries and shows from there, to actually physically be there, see the grassy knoll. It's very strange.
I totally agree. The part that definitely I thought affected me the most was when you walk up to the window to see Oswald's perspective.
Yeah.
Like that was where, like, you started just really, you feel the heaviness. It is a weird museum concept when you think about it.
Oh, yeah, but, absolutely.
But it's also incredibly intriguing. Well, we start today. There's a lot to do. And we have Bob Costas at 5 o'clock. We got Buster Olney on the show today. We have a whole lot to do.
Bob!
But Jacob DeGrom scratched from Friday's start. Instead, Don, an MRI on his right shoulder. This is... in the words of a certain manager, not what you want.
No, it's not what you want. And what do you want, Peter? Like, he went in the MRI. The speculation seems to be we'll get some sort of an announcement when the Met game is over. The Mets, I think, are in the 4th inning right now, so we're still probably a couple of hours away or an hour and a half away from the actual announcement of what they found. I don't want them to find anything, but I also don't want them not to find anything. Right,
well,
because
you don't want
going on here.
Right.
He's had MRIs before, never shows anything, but this shoulder tightness is something that has been an issue last year. He got shut down last year after July. So we can relate to this all in life, right? Where something's bothering you, and then you go to the doctor, and you want good news. What you don't want is no news, unless the pain goes away or the illness goes away. You want to know what's causing it so you can correct it. So as much as I don't want them to find anything, I kind of want them to find something. And hopefully it's minor. They can correct it, and we can have him for the bulk of the season. You don't want to find something like, oh, he needs surgery and he's going to be done for the year. I just hope that whatever it is, it's correctable, because as much as Scherzer there gives me a little bit of comfort that the season isn't completely a disaster – it's a completely different look without him. So let's hope we get good news here. Whatever
I know,
that would
Don,
be.
But this is so scary, because one of the things you're thinking about is so much potential for this team. New manager, new players, and you are returning the number one ace in all of baseball. And what you're hoping is he's returning to his form after what was a weird year last year. And so to have this be the first note is a scary thought, that you're just about to enter the same thing.
Well, we've talked about this a little bit, but it's probably worth reiterating. It's been a while since we've had to talk about Jacob DeGrom and even baseball that didn't relate with, you know, CBA and all that stuff. Is that I just have a feeling that he got caught up in how dominant he was last year. And maybe he can just learn to dial it down. And when we brought this up last year, it was, what are you saying, Don? You don't want him to pitch 100% every time he goes out there? Of course I do. But would it be that awful if you know, you when you got 0-2 on a punch and Judy hitter, you don't have to throw a filthy 97-mile-per-hour slider to get him out, that maybe you can kind of figure out a way to accommodate, to scale down your pitches. Think a little economy, right, of just not having to throw so hard with such velocity every single time to kind of just prove to the world that you're the best pitcher. We know you're the best pitcher, and he was caught up in a historic season. But I also want you to last, all right? And it's not like you're asked to pitch complete games anymore. And that if that means that maybe when you can give me an eighth, you don't, just because there's bigger fish to fry later on in the season, that maybe instead of throwing that 97-mile-per-hour fastball, you try to get him out with a 93, 94, maybe nibble a little bit. I mean, he's a great pitcher. Because maybe a lot of this just has to do with the fact that he really pushes his body to the limit. And when you look at the great pitchers that had a lot of longevity in this sport, whether it's Tom Seaver, whether it's Steve Carlton, and especially Nolan Ryan, they were tall, but they were thick. They were big guys. Jacob DeGrom's tall, but he's not a big, thick, muscular guy. And maybe there's a way that he can kind of just at times dial it down so that he can live to fight another day. Is that such a wrong pie in the sky, like hope, if it's not something serious?
Can I tell you the truth? It's the kind of thing I would expect, you know, that if DeGrom has relationships with, like, legends. Like, I know he has some relationship with Doc, right? It's the kind of thing that I would think the guys who have all been there who threw hard would tell him. Like literally, it's funny. I know, totally unrelated. Calm down, baseball fans. I'm aware wrestling's not a competitive sport, just entertainment. But one thing that comes up a lot is you'll see these young wrestlers every night in, night out, doing crazy moves every night.
It's phony, Petey.
And invariably, down the line, they get pulled aside by a veteran who's been there who says, hey, you can't do it every night if you want to do this till you're 40 years old. You got to protect your body. And in the case of DeGrom, it's not different. Don, he doesn't need to show it every night. So I'm surprised that sort of messaging has not really been emphasized to him yet. Or maybe it has, and he's just not able to adjust.
And listen, it's just my theory, all right? Because they don't find anything. So maybe it could just be a general soreness. Hey, you're pushing a little bit too much. Hey, it's your first couple of starts of the spring. Maybe you're feeling a little sore. Let's work it out. Let's shut you down here for a little bit, get you ready for spring training. Or maybe you need to dial it down in spring training so you can be ready for that start. I don't know. But when they keep finding nothing, that seems to be I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night kind of theory on what might be going on here. And I got caught up in it last year too. Whenever you see a special season, yeah, I want him to pitch a complete game. I want him to go for a no-hitter. But I also want to see this team win. And I don't think this team's got a chance to win a championship with a Jacob DeGrom that's going to have to go on the disabled list in July and not be available for the postseason and not be available for the stretch run. I didn't like it. We talked about it the other day, Peter. I didn't like that Scherzer threw 84 pitches last week in a spring training game. It's like, it's excessive to me. It is, at least in this day and age. Now, I wish it was like it was back in the day where guys threw 300 innings and they pitched until the 15th, 16th inning back of that. Something's obviously changed, whether it's the body, whether it's just how many different pitches are thrown. I don't know. It's the ball. Pitchers don't have that kind of durability they had when we were growing up, and we got to live with that. But if this team is going to do anything, if any team is going to do anything, Yankees too, you got to keep your five pitchers healthy. And you can live with a couple of guys maybe missing starts. But when your ace is now doubtful for opening day, or you're now not sure if he's going to be able to go out there and give you 30-plus starts, and we're holding our breath for yet another MRI, something's got to give here, man.
Let's get into game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Before today's game, Buck Showalter asked, do you have an update on DeGrom?
No, we don't have anything new yet. They're still in the process, so okay. I haven't heard. I'm hoping I should have something post-game. Okay. And if Billy gets something before that, I'm sure he'll shoot it to you, I think. I don't know if that was the thought when I left.
Yeah, so that they'll probably do something. Unless, Peter, they feel like it's going to break from somebody else and they might want to rush it out there, I think the plan would be Buck will give you an update when the game is over. And at last glance, it was 4-1 Cardinals in the bottom of the fourth.
Bottom of the fourth.
So we got a ways to go. We'll have Buster only at 3:30 if he's heard anything. And just, what do? The other thing you can kind of feel good about if you're a Met fan is that you now are in a territory where if, God forbid, DeGrom's going to be out for any length of time and you want to go out and try to find another starter, you're probably have more of a capability of doing that than you did before because they're not scared of adding payroll. Now, I don't know who that would be, and certainly it would not be anybody close to Jacob DeGrom. And you do have Max Scherzer to be your ace, which is awesome, but if they needed another pitcher, that they're probably more able to do it now than they were under the Wilpons. That's at least the feeling that I get with Steve Cohen. That money is not going to stop them from trying to find a quality pitcher, if not right away, maybe at the deadline if they're still in it or something. But it just, man, it just stinks. It really just stinks from all angles. Like, even if you're not a Met fan, you really enjoy watching this guy pitch.
Oh, no. I mean, listen, DeGrom Day, that's a day you want to be at Citi Field. No matter who you're a fan, you can be a Yankee fan. Everyone wants to watch Jacob DeGrom. So 1-800-919-3776. Let's get to your calls. And before we get to calls, Andrew, just quickly, big day for U.S. soccer, huh?
Oh, man, huge. The draw was this morning. So the U.S. were drawn into Group B with England, Iran, and then one more team that's still to be determined. There's one more European playoff. So it would either be Scotland, Wales, or Ukraine.
Now, I didn't even realize this, Peter. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Graça because he's a big soccer guy, big Portugal guy. So maybe you guys can sit and talk soccer in Portuguese one day. Because you could both do that.
I mean, he's probably better, but I did a little bit.
But how weird is it going to be that it's going to be in November?
It's
crazy.
Like the U.S. is going to play on Black Friday.
Yep. U.S. England the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, I got to tell you, that's incredible.
Phenomenal.
That is that you just made my day, Don. We just talked about what big sporting event days. Black Friday is always such a dud of a day. A U.S. England World Cup game? Andrew, we have the time already?
So I don't think they have the exact time, but they can ballpark it. I think it's supposed to be each day, I think there's going to be three games. And I think that one has already been pegged as the third time slot. So probably around, if I had to guess, 11 a.m. or noon, somewhere around there.
That's good for us.
Yes.
We want last one.
Very good.
What's the time difference in Qutter?
I don't know exactly.
Eight hours.
We need to straighten this out. Is it Qutter or Qatar?
I don't know.
So I've been saying Qatar.
Right.
During the show today, they were saying Qatar.
Okay.
But that's not it.
Got a third
That's out of the running.
I'm gonna go with Qatar because I feel like that's kind of the one that's most commonly used here in the U.S. If somebody tells me that that's entirely wrong and you better change it, then I will. But until that happens, I'm going with Qatar.
I'll tell you what it's not is Qatar or whatever you just said before, the other people were saying. I know, I get mixed feelings on this, but that is really cool news. Shout out. I mean, listen, the last World Cup was such a dud for us because there was no U.S. So to know that we're in a group with England, pretty fascinating stuff, and a game on Black Friday, pretty amazing.
So you're saying the late window in Qatar, Qatar, whatever it is.
7 hours ahead is Qatar.
So the last game there would still be morning here.
Right.
So that's not bad. So that doesn't even really interfere with football then. Because these games don't usually go more than 2 hours, right? So because I was going to say that this could really interfere and be messed up by football, like college football, NFL football. But it doesn't sound like it. These games might get over by a little bit after 1 o'clock. You go from the soccer right to the other football. So this could actually be fantastic. At first, I thought that this could hurt the ratings in the United States if it's going up against NFL and college football. But it sounds like it's just going to give you just a longer day of sports.
Right. The games will be entirely in the morning, and with maybe the late one possibly going over into 1 o'clock, but later than that.
Do you imagine, Andrew, the first slot? So if we get stuck where there's a game we care about in the first slot, could that be as early as like 5 a.m.?
That would be my guess.
Right. So there could be some – listen, that's what international soccer is about is you drive around Manhattan and there's a line at a bar at 4:45 in the morning.
Time for Sleepy Time Bobos.
That's right. Well, for Don, it's Sleepy Time Bobos. 1-800-919-3776. Back to Jacob DeGrom. Let's start with Mike in West Caldwell. What's up, Mike?
Yo, guys, what's up? Listen, I think – and I don't know if you agree, but I feel like these pitchers not being able to stay healthy is contributing to the lack of interest in baseball. Not a lot, but it's one of these things. Like, how annoyed are you guys? I'm a Yankee fan, but I like DeGrom. How annoyed are you that you have the best pitcher in the world and you can never get a full season out of him? I got my own problems with Severino, but I think league-wide, this is an issue. Over the last 25-plus years, how can they have not figured out a formula to keep these pitchers healthy? Is it starting when they're kids? Whatever it is they're doing, nothing.
I don't know. I mean, Nolan Ryan's theory, and here's the thing. Nolan Ryan's theory in Texas was they're not pitching enough, and then pitchers broke down then too. I don't know what the deal is, but Mike brings up an excellent point on all the reasons why baseball might be waning in popularity. That's a great point by Mike. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was growing up as a kid, I was in 1984 when Doc was called up. I was 16 years old. And the Mets got it right. It always seemed like he'd pitch on a Friday at Shea. That's at least my memory. Pitched a lot on Friday nights at Shea. And I was 16, so I started to develop a social life. So I was going out, hanging around at the Dairy Queen, playing zookeeper, trying to hit on girls and failing miserably. And then I would try to make sure I got home, you know, and my watch Doc pitch with my dad. Like, and he'd go out there, strike out 14 Giants, pitch complete game. It was, like, awesome. And pitching, when Fernando Valenzuela first hit the scene, it was before your time, Peter, it was 1981. I mean, everybody was talking about when Fernando was going to start. And then we tried to do it with Tanaka, and then we tried to do it with Harvey, but the problem is, are they going to make the start? How long are they going to go into the game? And never mind the injuries, the analytic. Well, we don't want him facing the third of the order, so he's going to come out of the game. When Snow was taken out of that World Series game, it was awful. Not because I was rooting for the Rays. I wanted to see dominance, and part of being a baseball fan is seeing a pitcher go out there owning the other team, striking out a bunch of guys, flirting with a no-hitter, being dominant, two pitchers going at each other, and now either the manager's going to pull him out because he's thrown too many pitches or they don't want him facing the order a third time, or the guy's hurt and can't pitch. Excellent point. I know it's all about offense, Peter, but pitching is also a major part of why people are interested in the game, especially if you're a Met fan. All their stars were pitchers.
And not to mention, if you're a Mets fan, it's been so tough because as DeGrom was emerging, so was Matt Harvey. That blew up, right? Once he was injured, that was the beginning of the end. And then we know now there was other factors there, but it started with injury. And Don, that was what sort of took Noah Syndergaard from being a superstar to being like, you know, a nice solid two.
Yeah.
You know, so this has been a recurring theme, and up until last year, the one who'd remained safe was the crown jewel, DeGrom, and now here we are.
Yeah, and now not even analytically, but also the feeling is, well, we don't want him starting, you know, 35, 36 times. Let's skip a start occasionally because we want him to last longer, which I get, but just from the pure entertainment of just watching these guys pitch every fifth day, you know, is a big deal. And part of the excitement is, yeah, the Mets have a chance to go to the playoffs, but I want to see DeGrom pitch. I want to see Scherzer pitch. I'm excited to see Bassett as a Met. And if they don't go long in games, that's disappointing. But if they don't go at all and then the guy's getting hurt, it's a great point by Mike. It really is. It's something we probably don't talk about enough is why baseball has kind of suffered, because that is a huge element of popularity for the sport.
All right, let's jump right into the crazy and go to Dennis in Center Reach. Hey, Dennis.
Yo, fellas, what's going on? Listen, you got to get rid of DeGrom right now. Three straight years not hurt. This isn't like the NBA with LeBron James where you have load management and you could sit him a few games. DeGrom plays, what, once or twice a week? In baseball, one player's not going to win it for you. He's 34 years old. He's going to be a free agent soon. Get what you could get for him. He's not even going to pick the first week. What's the point of having him, Don?
Dennis,
but
Dennis.
Get what you can. Don't sell you realize?
This is not when you sell.
Yeah, this is not
when
you sell.
This is exactly when you sell.
No, come on. Oh, listen, you know what? I'd love to be able to get into a deal with you someplace, because if you think this is the right time to sell with a guy that was just in an MRI tube that might be on the disabled list, no, that's not when you sell.
But when is he not in an MRI tube, Don? He's never not in an MRI tube.
Well, here's if you want to make your point, I'm going to make your point for you. Let's say DeGrom does go on the DL. And he comes back from the DL, and then by June or July, he's pitching great. And then by the time you get to the end of the season, then you get to the deadline, and you say, all right, you know what? Maybe now's the time because we're afraid that he's going to keep getting hurt. But maybe now that he's pitched so well that we might actually get something for him. You never have an asset and say, get what you can for the guy. Not when he's your greatest asset, because when he is healthy, he's the best pitcher in baseball.
He's not the greatest asset. Pete Alonso, Max Scherzer, those guys stay healthy. No. They're the asset.
Hold on. Max Scherzer's 50 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. And Pete Alonso, the book is not completely written on Pete Alonso. You think right now Pete Alonso is a better commodity than Jacob DeGrom?
Guys, hold on. Jacob DeGrom is the best player in the MLB when healthy. But the point is, he's never healthy.
You can't say never healthy.
Don, last 3 years. Bro, he couldn't even play the end of the season.
No, again, because the fear I have, Dennis, is that there's something wrong right now that caused what happened last year. So that's why I'm half hoping they find something is wrong so they can correct the situation. But it's not like this has been going on his entire career. Most recently, there's been a bit of an issue here. But let's not make it seem like that he's always hurt. He's not always hurt.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong.
The issue is done, and I agree with you there. Should they have not looked for surgery last offseason?
Well, that's a different conversation.
They put him down in July. You don't think they should have just looked for any option? They just let him sit and rest, and now something's coming up? You got to be kidding me.
You just don't open up a human body and look for something wrong. That's why you have MRIs. That's why you have X-rays, and then you find out what's wrong, and then you open up. So you're telling me you're going to open up his shoulder and look for what's wrong? I mean, you can't do that to a human being. I wouldn't allow a doctor to do that to me. Would you, Peter?
No, of course not. And also, Don, did he miss – In the shortened 2020 season, he played 12 games. Did he miss a bunch? He didn't miss that money if he started 12 in that season.
How many innings did he? Yeah, because he didn't miss. No, not at all. And the year before that, in 2019,
he played 32 games.
Yeah.
I don't understand. So really, it's last year. We're really talking about one
again,
year.
The thing that's scary is something is wrong. That's why we opened the show with, I don't want to hear, I really don't want to hear that the MRI came back clean because we don't know. We still don't know. Now we're going to be holding my breath. The next 5 starts will be great. No, he leaves again, shoulders bothering me. I want to find out what's wrong and correct it. And now's the time to do it. But to suggest that the Mets, I love this. I know the Mets have no reputation when it comes to winning, and I know people never give them the benefit of the doubt, Peter, but when they can't, when they're not finding it, these are great doctors, okay? They're searching for what's wrong. What doctor is going to open up a human being and search for what's wrong?
No.
Unless it's a life or death situation.
DeGrom has not, it has not been mismanaged. They just haven't been able to figure it out. There's a huge difference there. 1-800-919-3776. Obviously, a lot of people want to talk about Jacob DeGrom, and we will do a lot of that today. By the way, that is Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. We got Buster Olney coming up on the show. And at 5 o'clock, we got Bob Costas. That's right. Plus an Andrew Gundling ENN at 6. It's Peter and Don. It's the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't feel great after that interview, by the way.
Which part?
About DeGrom. Like, I didn't get any sense that this is going to be good. Like, when you hear him say that that's the reason they got Scherzer, and we all kind of speculated it was insurance in case DeGrom broke down, but, boy, the way Buster put it was almost like they were expecting it, just hoping that they'll get as much as DeGrom as possible, and then when he breaks down, they still have a great pitcher to replace him. Like, hoping, like, that maybe it wouldn't happen until you've established yourself in the season, or maybe it wouldn't happen at all, and you'd have this embarrassment of riches, and now you may never get that 1-2 punch now.
Can't we ever have anything nice?
And it frustrates me too, right? Team talks to him. At least these are according to the reports. You got to dial down. No, I'm too competitive. Well, now look. All right, I get you're competitive. I love how competitive he is. But, Peter, competitive comes in different forms. Like the analogy, I say a Lamborghini can go 200 miles per hour, but you take the curve at 200, you're going to crash it. So there's always going to be times where you have to kind of slow down. You're going to have to pace yourself a little bit. So all that competitiveness, what does it mean? It's going to cost the money because he came into the season hoping that he would have another lights out year and then opt out and make even more money. So it behooves him financially. It behooves him for his career. Dude, get it done. Who cares about how many strikeouts you have? I want to see wins. I want to see a great earned run average, however you do it. Greg Maddux is one of the greatest pitchers I ever saw. I don't even know if he got hit by Maddux, it would hurt.
Don, it's we could, and also, he's 33. Turning 34 in June. You have to adapt. I mean, Jordan developed the fadeaway. Remember? I mean, yeah. Ewing developed that nice little mid-range jumper.
Look at Pedro. Look at CeCe. But it's like, even stay with the baseball analogy. CeCe Sabathia. Look at how Pedro Martinez kept himself relevant after he didn't have that velocity anymore. You redefine yourself and you stay a long time. It's about being effective, right? See, to me, a strikeout, what did they say? The Kevin Costner movie. Bull Durham. Strikeouts are fascist. You know, like it's. Why does it have to be the strikeout? Why does it have to be the bravado of striking everybody out? Listen, everybody strikes out anyway. If you don't even try, you'll probably get 10 strikeouts. The idea is to get the opposition out, to win the game, to have your team win the game, even if you don't win it. What do I care if you ground out to first base or I strike you out on three pitches? It's the same thing. As a matter of fact, if I get you to ground out on the first pitch and strike you out on the 10th pitch, I'd rather get you to ground out on the first pitch. I'll stay around longer. So to me, that would be just ego, Peter, right?
Listen, DeGrom always comes off as a good dude, and he probably is, but it feels like it's a combo. Ego and immaturity, Don. And I guess that's surprising because he doesn't come off as immature generally, but from a sports standpoint, it's immature to continue to try to do the same thing over and over again when you're having these results.
You know, it's like telling a boxer, you know, a boxer going in there saying, I want to knock the guy out. Well, you're not knocking him out, but you could still win the fight. A decision's as good as a knockout.
Exactly.
So stop trying to knock him out and wearing yourself out and losing the fight. Maybe you figure out a way to be able to beat him in the 12 rounds and you get the win. So he's a really good guy. You say kid because, you know, he's younger than we are. But 33, he's a veteran. He's accomplished a lot. He's pitched in a World Series, won Cy Young. I mean, and the fact that the team can't convince him, I just think it would be an easy fight to win if you're the Mets. Listen, you've got – I don't want to lose you, but go out there and you win 20 games. No matter how you do it, you're going to cash in. You're going to opt out. How is he supposed to opt out if he's out for the year?
Right. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. A lot of people have been waiting for a while. We'll start with Matthew in L.A. on DeGrom. Matthew, what you got?
So with the DeGrom situation, I think, Don, maybe I'll upset you with this take. Maybe he's a glorified reliever. I mean, he's always hurt. Either he's always hurt. I looked up his history. Either he's hurt, or he's just not there. He's not present.
That's not true, Matthew. I'm sorry. You don't have the evidence to back that up.
I think it's overblown.
No, but I do have the evidence. I looked it up.
Okay, so hold on, real quick. So last year was rough. He missed a ton of time. What was the other year in which he missed a ton of time and he was, quote, always hurt? Looking at the 2020 season, remember that was a 60-game season.
No, I'm not saying he's always hurt. He is either hurt or he's missing time.
I don't know, Matthew. Thank you for the call, bud. We appreciate you.
Did he take a leave of absence I wasn't aware of?
Yeah,
look.
Matthew, we love you. You're our listener.
Well,
the idea is there used to be 35 starts. Now it's 30 starts.
Right.
All right? That used to be the goal. Get 35, now 30. He had 30 starts in 15, 24 starts in 16, 31, 32, 32, 12. That if you extrapolate it out, Peter, to a 60-game schedule, he would have had his 30.
Yeah,
and
30
then he had the 15 last year. So this whole line, he's always hurt. No.
It's not true.
It's not true.
It's hogwash, Don. It's hogwash.
He has made 198 starts in a career that began in 2014.
Yeah, no, it's just inaccurate. Let's go to Timothy in Jersey. Hey, Timothy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's up?
I wanted to call just to kind of go into my background. I'm not a doctor. I teach physics, however. And the strain that goes on in a pitcher's arm is just extraordinary. The energy that needs to be imparted on a baseball is just phenomenal anymore. Now, when I was a kid in the 60s and 70s, 80, 85 miles an hour, that was kind of your standard pitch. Your fastballers would make it around 90. I think the biomechanics people are just plateauing, and they're reaching the point where they are literally redlining. You just can't maintain that sort of strain without getting soft tissue injury, and that shows up really anywhere. It's not just a soft tissue. It goes into the bone itself.
Well, I think, Tim, you're right. I don't think it's really the fastball, because I think, listen, Nolan Ryan pitched forever throwing 102 miles per hour. Now, maybe he was an outlier, but I think it's the strain of the slider. I mean, just the torque, because listen, it's not natural to throw overhand. They always say that, but at least it's like a straight motion. But when you're trying to throw a slider and you're twisting your arm and you're throwing 90-plus mile per hour sliders, do you know what kind of force that causes on your arm and your body to be able to do that?
It's so uncomfortable.
But
can't even imagine.
I have a theory that I brought up before, and I'm going to bring it up again, and it really relates to DeGrom and what's happening with pitchers right now, if you will allow me to use that as a tease.
I would love that as a tease. We'll get to that. We'll get to Billy King at 4:30.
Yes.
Talk some Duke UNC. Maybe the biggest – listen, they're billing Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar as the biggest WrestleMania match of all time, right? You could bill Duke and North Carolina in the Final Four as the biggest college basketball game of all time. We'll get into that. Plus Bob Costas at 5 o'clock. Andrew's doing ENN at 6. It's K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
The great Buster only.
Is it necessary to throw that hard, that often, to be effective?
Don, I asked a bunch of people that question this winter, and some people who know DeGrom, and they basically said it would be like asking a zebra to change his stripes. They talk about how, you know, DeGrom is so competitive, and he's trained his body to try to throw as hard as he possibly can. And so to ask him to dial back, they think that not only would it raise questions of physiology, would he be it more? more risk if all of a sudden, you know, he was trying to, you know, lay back a little bit? Would that put him actually at more risk of an injury? But they just don't think that that's in his makeup. You know, he's a Lamborghini, and he's not going off-road. They just say he's too competitive.
The Michael Kay Show.
There's got to be something more in there than what they're telling us.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All righty. It is 4:03 on the Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN. Peter and Don taking you through on this big final for Friday. We'll talk to Billy King about Duke and UNC coming up at 4:30. But Don, during the break, big tweet from Jeff Passan. New York Mets right-hander Jacob DeGrom will miss opening day after imaging showed a stress reaction in his right scapula. Sources tell ESPN, while the timetable for his return is unclear, DeGrom is expected to miss a significant amount of time to start 2022.
And here is the press release from the Mets, basically saying the same thing Jeff said. And they continue, the immediate prescription is for Jake to discontinue throwing for up to 4 weeks and then re-image the area. At that time, we'll update the plan of care. So the idea that he'll rest for 4 weeks and then pitch, forget that. So he'll rest for 4 weeks. They'll put him back in the MRI, get the results. By that time, he hadn't pitched in over 4 weeks. So he's probably looking at being gone for at least 6 weeks. He will not pitch. It's April. You know, we might see him in the middle of May, I would think, best case scenario, if everything goes well.
But, Don, worse than that, you know, I wonder if you feel the same way. The worst thing is it's more of the same. It's more wait and see. They still didn't seem to find exactly what it is.
Well, the thing is, the scapula, I guess, and then it'll be let's rest, let's see if that works. Now, what happens if it doesn't work? Like, he's got – because what happens is he'll go back in the imaging and they'll see, okay, it looks better. Or maybe it corrected itself. Now you got to go out there and he throws. Is he throwing without pain? He's got to ramp himself back up again. It's like spring training started all over again. Because remember, 4 weeks ago, we didn't even start spring training. So he's now not going to pitch for 4 weeks. So, yeah, I would – June 1st, maybe, you might see him if everything goes well. So, yeah, you're now – now can they survive not having Jacob DeGrom for the first 2 months of the season when you have Scherzer and they traded for Bassett and maybe they'll make a deal with the Oakland A's? It's not the end of the world, but it's certainly not great. And we don't get everything we're excited about is the 1-2 punch of DeGrom and Scherzer, and now we're probably not going to have it for the first 2 months of the season.
So what's a stress reaction? Because the scapula is known as the shoulder bone or the shoulder blade, wing bone. It's the bone that connects the upper arm and the clavicle. What is a stress reaction, though, exactly?
Is it inflammation? Is it? I mean, we'd have to talk to a doctor. I'd just be guessing, but obviously that area was irritated by the pitching, and hopefully the rest will either reduce the swelling or heal it, and then you'll try it back up again. But let's face it, it wasn't like he was pitching that long for it to get to that problem.
What a dagger this is.
It's so frustrating, and you just hope that we'll be able to see this guy pitch and be part of something. Because listen, do I love him as a pitcher and do I root for him to go out there and go 22-2 and win another Cy Young Award? Yeah, that's great. But I also want to see him help the Mets win a championship. So if he does come, it stinks that we won't be able to see him for 30 starts. It stinks he won't be able to flirt with another Cy Young and do historic things, but ultimately, the reason I want him to do those things is to help the Mets win a championship, and that obviously can hurt that. Now, we try to wonder why is this happening when it never happened back in the past, all right? And now if you throw 250 innings, you're good with that. That's good. I don't know if Anthony or Andrew could just punch up. Who led baseball in innings pitch last year? You can find that out for us, but obviously – it was probably, what, in the 260 range, I'm just guessing? Let me know when you have it there, Andrew, because I'm using my computer to give another stat out.
Walker Buehler for the Dodgers, 226 innings.
Well, think about that. 226 led baseball.
So I decided, you know what? Because I've always had this opinion about, like, could Babe Ruth play today? So I looked. You know Walter Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. You've heard the name.
Oh, sure.
All right, big-time pitcher, Hall of Famer, pitched from 1907 through 1927.
What used to go to a restaurant named after him?
All right. He had, check this out, from 2013 through 2016, 346 innings, 371 and two-thirds, 336 and two-thirds, 369 and two-thirds. So 100 years ago, there was a pitcher that could throw 100 more innings than they're pitching today. So I'll ask you this. What was Walter Johnson throwing by the ninth inning?
We've talked about that.
What was he throwing in September, Peter? Meatballs?
I can't imagine.
Okay. And if anything, the human body is in better condition. I think human beings are actually bigger than they were 100 years ago, right? I think that's a scientific fact. That's why ball players hit their head on the dugout at Fenway Park. So when I make the claim, and people think I'm being anti-Yankee, whatever, that, you know, Ruth couldn't hit today, how is he going to be hitting filthy sliders, 95-mile-per-hour sliders and 100-mile-per-hour fastballs when he probably was mopping up on Walter Johnson, who was throwing 60 in the seventh inning in August? Because right now what you're having is these guys are throwing filthy, disgusting stuff for six innings, and guess what? The relief pitchers come in throwing just as hard. And their stuff is just as filthy. The only difference is they don't have the stamina to go long like a starting pitcher does. So that's when I make the claim, and without Bob Costas coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll ask him about it because we got into a debate about it during the pandemic when he mistakenly thought I said that Mickey Mantle couldn't hit the way he did today. And I also believe Mickey Mantle would not be the player that he was today that he was back 50 years ago because for the same reason. Because so things have changed. Now, is it possible, Peter, that Walter Johnson's arm was hanging off and his scapula was probably pointing in the wrong direction and he was still throwing? Because, right? They didn't have an MRI to put him in to find out. I'm sure he probably had – they probably had no scapula. It probably was dust by the time the season came to an end.
Right,
right. Torn rotator cuffs. These guys. So, obviously, you're not going to do what Christy Mathewson did or what Walter Johnson did back in the day because they actually treat, you know, athletes like human beings other than 100 years ago and was like, I don't care your arm's hurt and go out there and throw 16 innings. But what's happened here that these guys are like China dolls? And I'm not criticizing them saying they're not toughing it out. A pitcher can't tough it out, Peter. In any other sport, you could tough it out. But pitching is all about mechanics. And if something's bothering you and your mechanics are off, you cannot be effective. So I will never ask a pitcher to gut this out. Like, oh, I'm sorry, your scapula's bothering you? Scapula, blapula, go out there and pitch. But why is it that these guys just – how do you build a team around pitching, Peter? You've got to hold your breath every time they throw.
Well, you can't. And by the way, unless you have literally your entire rotation, one through five, is insane – you can't really base it around pitching. But let's – from Jacob DeGrom's health to Michael Kay's, Joni is calling us from upstate.
Okay. Hi, Joni.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm calling to see how Michael's doing with the COVID and also to speak of Aaron Judd. Okay. I think that Aaron's going to be the player that the Yankees need him to be, even though he's going to be in his late 30s. If they give him up to 7 years, he'll be 37 years old. At 37, he should be in excellent shape. And
I don't disagree.
And how is Michael doing with the COVID? Is he going to make it for the opening day at Yankee Stadium?
Joni, thank you for the call and your concern. I think Michael's feeling good. He was texting us earlier. We spoke to him yesterday, and I am not a doctor or medical professional, but Don, my prediction would be that Michael is ready for opening day.
Yes. The way I look at it, he's a member of the family.
That's right.
I believe he's in day three of his quarantine.
So his quarantine will be up on Monday. And if he's feeling better, and we've talked to him each day, he's feeling a little better. So I would expect that he would be available to us on Monday. Opening day is not till Thursday. So barring any setbacks or anything unforeseen, I think he's well on his way to being ready for opening day, Yankees Red Sox on Thursday. And nobody's more concerned about that than Michael, believe me.
Yeah, exactly. You think? I mean, yeah, he kind of cares about being with us, but opening day, come on.
And as far as the Judge thing, I disagree with you, Peter. Yes, you could be as conditioned as you are, but at 37 with that body type, I just don't know if you're going to be worth the money that you're going to be making. I mean, this is a guy that's had a bunch of injuries to start his career. Not all of them have been wear and tear stuff, but
here's a question. When does the Stanton deal end?
It's 6 years. So if they give him the 6 years with a 7-year option, the first 6 years of his contract, the DH is not going to be available to him.
See, that's the killer, because I'd feel good about Judge as DH, and it stinks that you can't. I mean, you could try and move. I don't know how you'd move things around, but because obviously his longevity would be much better at DH. You know, when he's had his health issues, it seems at least once, if not more than once, Don, it's come from plays in the outfield. So that is you're damned with the Stanton contract. It's a good point. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Mike in New York. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good,
Don, I agree and disagree with the take on DeGrom reinventing himself. I know you mentioned Pedro and guys like that. Those guys lost their fastball. DeGrom is in a rare case where he actually still has ridiculous velocity for his age. I think the issue could possibly be the emphasis on, like, all these pitch tracks with the spin and manipulating the baseball more than it possibly needs to be. So to ask DeGrom to dial back, I don't think is possible, because you need conviction when you throw every pitch. I think it's just a rare case that DeGrom, the way he's built and his flexibility and his windup, I think it's just something that's inevitable. And unfortunately, it's one of those career, like, injury-ridden, you know, careers, like you look at Tim Lincecum. You know, that's how I kind of equate it. I know Lincecum lost his fastball, but that's kind of the first thing I thought of when this news broke.
Well, Tim Lincecum was also very diminutive in size, so I think that kind of hurt him, because he developed a lot of his velocity, I think, through, like Pedro, with his fingers, because he was such a tiny guy. So he kind of whipped it with these, like, long fingers. But the point is that you would see DeGrom, and Syndergaard would have this happen too, where you just threw 100 miles per hour. Now I want to try to throw 101. Now I want to see if I can get to 102. Like, there'd be times he'd throw 11, 12 pitches that were 100 miles per hour, which means there were times where he ramped it up. So I don't look at it as, well, I'm sorry, that's how hard I throw. No, it's not how hard you throw. Not every pitch is 100 miles per hour. So after you throw 100 and you look up at the Citi Field scoreboard and say, oh, I threw 100 miles per hour, and there's oohs and ahs in the crowd, then you know what's going to happen. Oh, I'm going to try to throw 101. No, don't. You don't have to. So I understand what he's saying, but do you think, Peter, it's like, hey, I'm sorry, hit the gas pedal. That's how fast the pitch goes. I don't. There's other pitches you can throw. It doesn't always have to be, I'm going to try to get it over 100 miles per hour.
Well, I mean, and listen, DeGrom is on a quest not just to win a championship, but, Don, for the Hall of Fame. You know, and that's the pace he's always been on. You have to be able to adapt to be that kind of guy.
And the Mets asked him to, so obviously they've got baseball people that think it is possible that it can happen. And you heard Buster Olney say he just doesn't want to. That's just the way that's the cut of his jib, right? I'm sorry, I'm 1,000 miles per hour all the time. That's how I am. That's how I roll. Well, now you're rolling into an MRI tube, and you're rolling into not pitching for the first 2 months of the season. Is that good? Is that the way you want it to be? And forget about the Mets. He's costing himself money. Because if he pitched a full season and pitched great and won the Cy Young Award, he'd have an opt-out to go out and make money. And you know the Mets are going to keep him, so they're going to throw a ton of money at him.
And this is the last big one, right?
Well, he's 33 years old.
Right.
You think the contracts are going to get higher as they go along?
This is he with a healthy, great season, Don, he still gets an obscene deal.
Right, and even because it's interesting, like we talk about how Harper's the same age as Judge. Kershaw's the same age as DeGrom. But the thing is, Kershaw started pitching in Major League Baseball way earlier. But the fact is that Kershaw's a 33-year-old that just signed a 1-year contract with the Dodgers.
Right.
you know, DeGrom would be turning 34 years old and probably signing a five-year deal with somebody else because he hasn't pitched as much as Kershaw. But the fact is, age is age, and you're probably not going to be making a lot of money in your late 30s. So his agent should be telling him, dial it down.
Let's go from the Mets to the Yankees for a second with Justin in Westchester. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. I'm going to preface this anger that it's not directed to you. I am so tired of Cashman and Hal talking out of both sides of their mouth. They've been doing it for years, and now Cashman with this weak, excuse my language, crap about blaming the Astros and it's their fault we didn't win a World Series. It was 5 years ago, first of all. He's made countless bad moves the entire time to screw up this championship window. And there was a time when, you know, Clint Frazier has legendary bat speed, and Duhar's a doubles machine. Gary Sanchez is great. Severino's great. Well, from all of those guys, the only one who's left standing is Aaron Judge, and he was the biggest question mark. And now we have to hear about, yeah, well, if we sign him, we sign him. If we have to go to arbitration, we will. And the entire time I have to hear about how much money the YES Network is losing and that, and the problems they're having financially. Meanwhile, we have the third highest payroll in baseball. And I thought Carlin brought up the greatest point that a lot of people haven't been talking about, which is it's not that the Yankees aren't spending. It's where they're spending it. We're spending plenty of money, but we're spending it on guys that are like 35 years old. Why do we need to bring in Josh Donaldson at 20-something million dollars a year, and then we have to worry about, well, can we get Aaron Judge's contract done? Because they don't want to go through certain levels of threshold. If you're going to spend the money, spend it the right way, or don't spend it at all. We've had one foot in, one foot out for years, where Cashman says, I want to be the Rays, but have a lesser payroll than the Dodgers. The point is, the Yankees are the Yankees. Stop trying to be the damn Rays. The reason that we won those World Series was because George Steinbrenner didn't miss. When there was a big guy, he didn't miss. He got the guy. And if the guy didn't perform, the guy didn't perform. He got booed out of town. Look at Kevin Brown. But I guarantee you, there's no shot in the world that if George Steinbrenner was still living, that Max Scherzer would have signed with the Mets.
Right.
It's just it's crazy to me.
Well, but then but here's the thing, Justin. Now here's the question. Is it Hal's problem or is it Brian's problem? Like, we blame – and I blame Brian too, but when it comes down to it, is Hal saying, no, you're not signing Correa. You're not signing Story. I understand what you're saying from the financial standpoint. Is Hal more to blame than Brian?
At this point, I don't know. It's hard to tell.
No, it is. It's Hal's money. Now, I don't think Brian, and thank you for the call, Justin, I don't think Brian is a guy that wants to spend a ton of money either. But Michael's talked about this before. You know, why when you have all of this money, you know, if you're the Michael's analogy is, what if you're the prettiest girl in the room, why do you have to be super smart too? Like, if you think you can do it the way the Rays do it, then why in God's name do you have the third highest payroll in baseball? So if you got the third highest payroll in baseball, the highest payroll in baseball. Like, what's the difference here?
I hear you.
You know, so that's what's frustrating. Now, Passan's article also says that in 2014, Peter, the Cardinals' Michael Wacha suffered a stress reaction in his right shoulder in mid-June. He returned on September 4th.
June to September?
Mid-June to early September. So that's 2 weeks in June, then four weeks in July, 4 weeks in August. So he missed 10 weeks.
I don't love the sound of that.
Well, it's not that crazy a thought, Peter. He's shutting down for a month, all right? Not going to pitch for a month. Then they'll put him in the MRI tube. And then you hope everything's clear. Then he's got to ramp himself back up again. And that's going to take 2-3 weeks, maybe two. So that's 6 weeks, I would think, minimum.
And this, so maybe Don, now with hearing this, we know we're looking at 6 to 10 weeks or 6 to 12.
Yeah,
weeks.
It could be that.
It could be All-Star break.
Now Scherzer becomes your ace, Bassett becomes your number two, and then you got Walker, Carrasco, and then I would think Lugo slides into your fifth starter. You don't need your fifth starter usually for the first couple of weeks of the season because of the off days or whatever. But and they can do that. And if it doesn't work out, you've got an owner that doesn't mind spending money. There's a couple of good pitchers in Oakland. They can make a deal there. So we'll see.
Guys, it's time for the 98.7 ESPN Hoops update brought to you by Superbook Sports. Place your bets at Superbook Sports, and they'll match you dollar for dollar up to $1,000. Visit superbook.com to get signed up and place that bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm nervous.
the final four of Drop Madness. If we don't get the most votes of the tournament, I will be apoplectic. TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Vote early and often. And when you really look at this final four matchup list, Don, it really turned out basically the way it was supposed to. While not chalk, it just is right. We start with the one seed in the Michael region.
Thank you, my friend, and I will see you soon. Say hi to everybody.
Be well. You say hello, too.
Okay. Take care, Michael. It's Michael K. with me here.
Now, the interesting thing is he's up against the 9 seed in the Peter region, but it's really kind of Michael versus Michael. Here is the competition for that one seed.
Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets.
Official?
To
No, it's rumored.
Yeah. No. Here's your chance. What is?
Sorry.
Wow. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you saying?
I do well.
Who are you talking
to? It's so good. Don, don't
really
underrate your hello.
These are gone.
Don't underrate your hello in there, Don, at the end. It's a big part of it. But we head to the other side of the bracket where I have a major part in Don's 16 seed.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
And in a battle, friend versus friend, producer versus talent, Don will go up against Andrew, the one seed in the Nether region.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
You can go vote TMKS ESPN on Twitter. You have 2 hours. Mm. Andrew does ENN at 6, and at the end of ENN, we will reveal our winners. Up next, the great Billy King to join us and talk Duke UNC. So much happening here on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Just looking at this Yes coverage for Thursday, Peter. 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., welcome to opening day. 11 a.m. to 1, the Yankee pregame, and then 1 o'clock, Yankees Red Sox. So a nice 4 hours of piping hot baseball talk leading into Yankees Red Sox.
Nothing better than some piping hot baseball talk, am I right?
I never liked when Michael said that.
It's always
it turns me off. When you have something like, if he said we've got some piping hot Duke North Carolina, I may not watch. Like, that turns me off.
And by the way, what do you want piping hot? Like, even food, you don't want piping hot.
Yeah, and especially if you, when you think of piping hot, you think of super stew, and those are two things he doesn't eat. So
is there anything worse than hot soup that burns your mouth?
Yeah, you're right. But I understand where he's coming from a positive standpoint. I don't know. Just when he says piping hot, it's a turnoff for me. I don't know. Maybe not everybody feels the same way.
No, I'm with you. We're in lockstep on this. Okay. We just talked to Billy King about the Final Four, and it is pretty crazy. I mean, this is a tournament that going in, Don, I just thought there was not, you know, there was the Coach K storyline, but who knows how that's going to go. And especially after how the finale against Carolina went. You don't know what you're going to get there. And then I just didn't have a lot of intrigue otherwise. And then between the fact that they've continued to roll, the St. Peter's run, and now this just ridiculous blue blood Final Four of Kansas, Villanova, Duke, and UNC, it's ended up, Don, being a real beautiful Final Four situation.
No, and you really feel bad, too, for Kansas and Villanova because it's getting obscure, but that's a great matchup, and Villanova is really – I know you kind of threw out the blue blood, and they're not, but, I mean, there's – you know, you've been talking about how much they've won over the last going on 40 years, and – they've become, I think, a really iconic program in themselves, even though you don't look at them as
original.
A blue blood program.
But, I mean, there is pure – what's the – there should be another word then that's not blue blood, because that implies it goes all the way back. But something that just – a true, established, longtime powerhouse.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they are.
And that should be a great matchup. And no matter how you slice it, the championship game on Monday should be terrific as well. And I think the rating is going to be great. Let's not forget that's on TBS, not Channel 2. That might affect the number. But still, I think everybody's got TBS, and we'll get into this. But and then you think Krzyzewski being gone, how might that change the rivalry? I don't think it will at all. It's not like North Carolina hasn't had historic coaches leave and the rivalry still stayed intact. So I agree with Billy in disagreeing with Greeny. That them meeting is going to affect the rivalry. I think if anything, it's going to enhance it.
Yep.
Especially if something comes from this game historic, like if it goes to overtime or there's a controversial call or something that really spices it up.
I wish.
Listen, I'm really, like you said, it's not high on my bucket list of things, but sometimes curiosity prevails, and I got no Rangers that night, so I'm really looking forward to sitting down and watching these rivals go at it. And
on TV.
When I saw Andrew in the rundown talk about maybe the biggest rivalry in the United States, I at first wanted to argue with it, but really, I mean, I know Yankees Red Sox is big, but does that resonate around the country the way North Carolina Duke does? I don't know. It's a good question. There's great rivalries, but this one just never – has there been, Peter, a time where it hasn't been great? Has there been lulls in this rivalry? Not to my remember. Maybe fairly recently.
There were – post-2000, there have been a couple seasons where North Carolina wasn't great. Last year, Duke wasn't great.
And Duke's dominated recently, right?
Yeah, but Don – by
at least
the
head-to-head.
By and large, it's one of the most consistent rivalries of all time. Andrew, you're the biggest college basketball fan we have here. Your team wasn't even was not a factor this year. But how excited are you for tomorrow?
Extremely excited. This is, I mean, for me, I've always kind of been infatuated with this rivalry, even though I have no dog in the fight. So, Final Four. With the backstory of what just happened at Cameron Indoor and Coach K's last game there, and then the post-game handshake snubbing, like all of that on top of what is already the best rivalry in the sport, I think it's amazing. It's honestly incredible that this is the first time they're meeting in a tournament, and it's Coach K's last year, and it's the Final Four. It's like you couldn't make this up.
I know, it's ridiculous. And Don, you made a really good point. You know, when people talk about Coach K leaving will affect the rivalry, people don't sit, even though he's top five, he's one of the greatest ever. People don't sit around waxing poetic about how the rivalry was better when Dean Smith was there.
No.
So,
or Roy Williams, or like, you talk
Dean,
about.
And by the way, Dean Smith was Coach K before Coach K.
Yes.
And yet we've moved on, and we will move on, and, you know, I will learn to hate John Shire as much as I hated Coach K, and we will have this for years to come. But up next, we talk to one of our absolute favorites, Bob Costas will be joining us. Also, Andrew has ENN coming up at 6, which, Don, you know what they say about a pre-Final Four, Andrew Gundling, ENN on a Friday?
Well, pre-Duke North Carolina Final
Four. Oh, yeah. It will truly be the greatest ever. So hang tight. It's Peter and Don right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
5:38 in New York City. Andrew Gundling's ENN coming up at 6 o'clock. I'm very excited. You know he's giddy today, Don, with the soccer news. USA. Yeah. We know the USA's grouping. We know when they're playing, who they're playing. A lot of excitement. Is there anyone better? We rank guests a lot, Don. Is there anyone who could give you 30 minutes of just constant awesome on a level of Bob Costas?
What people need to realize, I was talking about with this Andrew during the break, there's sometimes we get guests, we won't name them, that want to know at least what are we talking about? What should they be ready for? What should they be prepared for? And some flat out want the questions in advance, which we don't really like to do, and doesn't happen that often. Bob had no idea we were going to go. Zero. We could, and he had thoughtful answers on everything. And here's what we covered briefly, in case you missed it, and I'm sure it'll be on the podcast: NFL overtime, NBA play-in, the baseball situation with the pitchers. He, out of nowhere, on his own, brought up his ideas for the wild card format. We brought up what happened with Will Smith and Chris Rock. We went everywhere that you could possibly go, and he was prepared for all of it. And if we had more time, and I thought about it, Peter, I didn't have the cubes. I didn't have them. I was actually tempted to say, Bob, can we keep you through the break and bring you back the next
day? Don, what's your name? Don, ask Andrew. I texted Andrew and said, when he was saying he wanted to stick around, I almost said, well, do you mind hanging tight for 5 minutes?
It's too much to ask the great Bob.
But the thing is, he would have done it because he wanted to talk more. But you're right. I just have too much respect.
Yeah, just that you don't to have him sit there on hold for 5-6 minutes to come back. And who knows how long we would have gone, because I want to debate him on the NFL overtime stuff. But the thing about Bob and I is that we don't really – we need almost a whole show to debate, because I don't give up. He doesn't give up. And
you both use a lot of words, that's for sure.
Well, thank
you. Now, listen, you also would have a problem in this argument, Don, which is that, you know, how do I say this gently? I mean, Bob's much smarter than you.
Well, I think that's a given.
I mean, he's
much smarter than you too, by the way.
Oh my God, he's one of those people that, like, I mean, honestly, there are a lot of great talkers in sports talk, and in sports in general, television, radio, whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who, like, the way they use words impress me, but in terms of their intelligence wowing me, I wouldn't say there are that many people that I just marvel at how smart they are. Bob is that smart to me.
And the reason that he's so much fun in a debate is because even though I disagree with him, he still comes up with very compelling arguments. Like with the overtime, he came up with very compelling arguments. And examples galore.
He's just rattling off the examples.
But the one thing he said that was so intriguing to me, Peter, because I'll still stand by it's kind of waste of money to overspend for an analyst and for a play-by-play guy, the way he articulated why you would was very convincing and something I hadn't thought about. You're spending all this money anyway. It's the crown jewel of television sports. Would you wear sneakers with an Armani suit?
Right.
Would you have a Kmart belt with a suit that you paid $3,000 for? And it's a compelling argument. That's what makes him so much fun to talk to.
He is, man, he's just an absolute treat. And, Don, I brought up the Tiger thing with him.
By the way, I think you said 5 words. I think he gave you 5.
Yeah, he probably did. He probably nailed it. But we're sitting here now at 5:42, Friday before the Masters, and we don't know yet. As of last time I checked, there was no word on whether or not Tiger would play, which is also so very Tiger, right? To loom large over the entire thing, whether or not he's playing. But, I mean, I just imagine if you're the PGA, you're walking on pins and needles. Because, listen, they'll do a great number next weekend no matter what. But Don,
the azaleas are still there. Isn't that the draw?
Well, listen, people love the azaleas. But, I mean, you talk about someone impacting a rating, Don. We're talking about if 5 million? How big a number are we talking about whether he plays or not?
The one thing that's not debatable is even LeBron James, even Michael Jordan in his heyday, I don't think anybody. Matter of fact, I know no single person affects their sport more than Tiger affects golf.
Yeah, we've never seen it. It's such a great point, Don. Even Jordan, if we were to look at the ratings in the years when Jordan retired and before he came back, if you were to look at the playoff ratings, my guess is, Don, you wouldn't see much difference.
I mean, and really, this has been, would you say this has been a fun NBA season? This is even for the casual fan, this has been intriguing. It's been fun.
There's a lot of storylines with big teams and big players.
Yes. And really, I mean, LeBron's had a great season, but you can't say the Lakers are a reason why, other than you're just intrigued by the fact that they may miss the playoffs. But, you know, LeBron James with the biggest name in the sport, and I don't think he has had as much to say about how intriguing it is. But it's and the thing about Tiger is, listen, he's not winning. Right? If he plays, he's not winning. I mean, it would be an amazing story if he did. I mean, I'd even watch on Sunday if he's got a chance to win.
Yes.
But it's still moving the needle for a guy that at best is probably going to be ordinary, and rightly so. I mean, he hasn't played. It's a very difficult course. Just the fact that he would play in it, it is an amazing story. But it doesn't matter. He's Tiger.
Yeah, I really hope he does play, by the way. It would make my weekend next week.
Oh, and Trey Wingo, Mike Greenberg? I mean, come on.
Oh, God. What? Oh, God, he was just close on 10. I can't even do the impression of
him. No, you can't, because you can't get to that. Because as much as you love Tiger, you don't love him as much as Trey. Play the cut.
Ooh, Tiger just did it close on 10.
By the way, we should have Trey on next week.
I know we should.
Yeah, we absolutely should.
Oh, listen, I got to tell you, we're blowing the Masters up next week.
Yeah, we have to. It'll be fun.
I actually suggested we do something on Thursday, because I mistakenly thought it was this weekend, because I don't care.
So you can act, right, Andrew? Did I not walk in on Wednesday when I was in studio? I walked into studio and said, you know, we should do a lot of Tiger tomorrow. It's round one. He's like, no, it's not till next week.
I said, okay, that'd be a week and a half ahead of the tournament, but it is big. Well, yeah, let's think about it.
I didn't get that. I mean, obviously, I was not going to have that, but just to show you that I am all professional in something. I literally explained to you in that sentence that I am a professional and that I really don't care about the Masters.
Well said. Andrew's ENN coming up in just 15 minutes. Hang tight, Peter and Don on the K Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Don, what's your Rangers schedule this weekend?
Well, I'm hosting tonight's Rangers-Islanders game, which will begin at 6:30, right after the Michael K Show on 98.7 ESPN New York. And I'm doing the play-by-play Sunday at the Garden against the Flyers. Coverage at 6:30, face-off at 7 on 10:50 a.m.
And Saturday, you're free as a bird.
Free as a bird. Take the kids to Taekwondo, and then free the rest of the day.
Did we already know that the kids are in Taekwondo?
Oh, yeah. They got their white belt the other day.
Andrew, did you know the kids were in Taekwondo?
I did, yes, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Are your kids in Taekwondo?
Jack did it for, I don't know, one session. I'm not sure what they would refer to it as.
What happened?
He didn't take to
it. Did he have a meltdown?
He enjoyed it, but I don't know. We just didn't keep up with it. Maybe we'll get back to it.
Yeah, they've been doing it, I want to say probably about 6 months.
And so what kind of things do four-year-olds do in Taekwondo?
Well, it's a lot of just focus on Master Kim. Make eye contact, listen, obey, and follow instructions. That's why we wanted to get them to go to Taekwondo. But they can break a board.
They can break a board?
Oh, sure. But listen, it's break a board of Jace, right? It's plywood, and he's bending it to the point where if you sneeze, it's going to break. But still, it's important to them to do it. And they got to follow, and you know, it's something that I think from a discipline standpoint, Marco needed desperately. And you can't have one without the other, so Jalen had to go, and they enjoy it.
When I was a kid, there was this commercial for there was a local Taekwondo place. I believe it was Taekwondo, called Junri.
Okay.
And the commercials in Maryland and in the D.C. area in the 80s were iconic. Nobody bothers me. Nobody bothers me. Call USA 1000. We will fight tonight or something like that.
Okay.
The 80s were a time. I didn't know. What other activities do the kids have besides Taekwondo?
That's it right now, other than, you know, whatever that's happening at daycare. And they love – I told you I introduced them to the Wii, so they're playing games on that. But that's the only thing that I think is organized so far. There's a waiting list for T-ball, which kind of bothered me. Because I wanted to get him involved in that. There wasn't room. So we got to try to sign him up early next year. I don't think he's ready for baseball just yet. I think got to get him a little bit more focused. Because the problem when they're four, Peter, is they play by their own rules. And they don't, you know, so he'll be on a baseball team, and then 5 minutes in, he doesn't want to do it anymore, and he's wandering off. So we just got to get him focused. I think another year, get him ready. Because I think that he can be a good athlete. But I want to make sure that he's ready for the commitment.
It's
and
funny.
She's going to be a dancer. She loves dancing. So
really,
yeah.
You're known as a great dancer in some circles, no?
I'm known for not dancing.
Okay,
but ahead. I think you saw me dance a little bit at RJ's wedding. I don't think I embarrassed myself for a guy in his mid-50s.
Non and dancy, non dancy. By the way, was that this last year?
I don't know. I don't think it ever made. Did that ever make a Drop Madness? If not, that's a poor job.
Yeah, I don't think it ever did, Non and Dancy. Because, of course, if you guys are just tuning into the show late, maybe you haven't been around since 1947, Don and Nancy notoriously did not dance at Michael's wedding, and Michael was very bothered by this.
Which I don't get.
Now, why does he care? Why is he worried about what you're doing?
Yeah, I was enjoying. It wasn't like I wasn't having fun. I was socializing. I was eating. The food was great. I was enjoying the music. By the way, my run, it looks like it's going to be over unless people step up with urine ass into voting. 5 straight years I've been a champion, trying to go for 6. but I'm down. So, listen, if you want to see my reign continue, you got about 25 minutes.
How big's the gap?
54-46 right now. Over 2,300 votes, almost 2,400. So, listen, vote for who you want, but I'd like to try to keep this reign alive or at least put up a little bit more of a fight.
I think Andrew's – it's the smugness and the way in which he's insulting me. I think people just love it too much. And Michael is rolling over me with the greeny flub.
Well, the reason I don't mind as much losing, I had a nice run, I can't imagine beating Michael in the final. And I wonder, does Michael celebrate his first Drop Madness win or disgusted about what Drop won?
It's the – you know, let's just be clear. Michael and Greeny is the equivalent. It's Michael's equivalent. It's his answer to LT.
Yes.
Doing real well. It's the same thing. So
no offense to Greeny. I was talking to Lawrence Taylor. And Lawrence, and also reacting to Lawrence Taylor's still over 10 years later, we can't figure out what he said. Mike Greenberg had a very articulate and well thought out goodbye.
Right.
Nothing that should have thrown Michael off at all.
Right. Now, by the way, speaking of Drop Madness, on DNR, we have Host Sadness, and Don advanced today, crushing Greeny, and it will now be Michael versus Don in the final.
How about that?
Host Sadness. Dear God, dear Shriad, it would be so fabulous to drop you.
When's that final, Anthony? Is that next week?
I think
it's Monday.
It should be Monday, right? It should coincide with the game, no?
Wow, what professional. So it's a little sad they did the whole setup on their show, and then it's two hosts from our show in the final. Not what you want. Yeah, exactly. Andrew, tell me what story you're most excited about for ENN.
Oh, my goodness. I actually feel really, really good about the CNN. There's an Eric Church follow-up to the story that we covered earlier in the week. We'll do some Final Four. Some World Cup draw from earlier today, and then a survey that was given out to 20 NFL players at this year's Pro Bowl, asking a bunch of different NFL-related questions that I found interesting.
Well, all right. Well, that is all coming up next right here, ENN on the K Show on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.